10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're social distancing, but we're still talking hockey here on Slapshot Radio. And you know, they announced today the AHL has canceled the rest of their season. We're going to get reaction from the voice of the AHL's Milwaukee Admirals, the baby Preds themselves. Our good friend Aaron Sims is going to be joining us tonight on Slapshot Radio, all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from Whitehart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro. The largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. And our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three open, locally owned and operated locations right here in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host, our former NHL coach, former NHL player, current all-around good guy, Brent Peterson. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry I couldn't make it there, but next week maybe I'll have a chance to get there. But it's been good to see you, good to talk to you again, and hopefully I'll get over there one of these days.
Absolutely. That's okay. We want you to stay safe there, Coach. And, of course, the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Mr. Zach McCann. Zach, how are you this evening?
Hey, another Monday, another time to talk some hockey.
Yeah, you know what? And actually, there is some hockey to talk about. Plenty of rumors going around. And honestly, when you, I think a lot of them got started with the news breaking today. It looks like that that Major League Baseball is planning a comeback for 4th of July weekend, opening spring training in June. And Zach, I'm wondering, do you think that portends well? Not at all. Does it, no impact whatsoever? I mean, what are your thoughts there?
I think my thoughts kind of remain the same. I think it's a nice story, America's pastime on America's birthday. But at the end of the day, I think what Dr. Fauci said on an interview with ESPN, I think really tells the tale, where he said the virus will decide. And I think that's really kind of how you have to look at it. You can make plans, but what do they say about people who make plans?
It's a good way to make God laugh. Yes.
Exactly.
No question about that. So, but Coach, I mean, when you look at all of this, and I mean, let's face it, everybody wants the answer to the ultimate question, and no, it is not 42, but the ultimate question of, when's hockey coming back? And I mean, as a coach, I mean, look, how a cold will fly through a locker room. You really, really wonder, how do you make this safe for the players? And quite honestly, how does the NHLPA ever, really work this out with their membership? Do they just decide to heck with it and take the chance?
I guess that's what they'll have to do if they want to play, but I don't think, nobody's listening to the doctors or Fauci and those kind of people. They got to listen to those people first, and it doesn't sound like they're sort of overruling him or just going over his head or whatever happening, but I can't see baseball being any different than hockey and basketball, although they're indoor arenas compared to outdoor places. But everybody has a different situation, so every league has to make their own decisions and do their own thing. And hockey wants to play, basketball wants to play, but they're just not finding that they can do it right now because it's going to take a long time to get out of this. And I think it might make it worse if we do play, because then the years in coming up are going to be in jeopardy. So it's a hard thing to talk about, a hard thing to think about, but we sure miss hockey, and I just watch those games on Tuesdays and Thursdays and see how good we were 3 years ago. And I talked to David Poile the other night and said, geez, we were good that year. And everybody was going full speed, and we had a couple of injuries, but it was just a great thing to watch. So I miss hockey big time, but I don't want anybody's health to be at risk because of it.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I always joke about the curative powers of the playoffs, but I don't think even the playoffs is the answer for this thing here going on. But a little bit of news coming out of 501 Broadway. Ben Harper Nashville Predators prospect, signed to a contract. And you know, it's funny watching Harper in a couple of the rookie camps. I mean, this kid's got he's a good bottom six potential. I mean, and we're going to talk more about prospects tonight because you know we're going to do our final down on the farm segment with Aaron Sims a little bit later on. But I also want to talk a little bit about prospects, so I'm gonna get you guys to talk about who you would think your most surprising Preds prospect was, and go back over the 22 years of the franchise. And I also want to talk about the biggest draft bust, not named Brian Finley. So we want to, I just took the easy one away from you, but so we're going to talk about that. I'm giving my co-host time to kind of, percolate, think about that one a little bit. But when you look at what's going on, it's been kind of fun. If you haven't done this, if you're not on Twitch or any social media, first off, get out from under the rock. Second off, it's been kind of fun to watch the NHL 20. Playoffs that they've been simulating on Twitch, and actually the next game is in just about 20 minutes on Twitch, so we're going to be competing with that here. But it's been fun to watch, Zach. I mean, esports seems to be kind of trying to fill the void.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only sports we realistically have at the moment, whether you consider it sports or not. It's kind of, that's
except for that bizarre tennis thing that was going on over the
Korean
weekend.
Baseball.
Okay. It is funny. And Coach, I don't know, have you watched any of that Korean baseball?
I did for about 3 seconds, and I changed the channel to something else.
Yeah, I mean, but I tell you what, though, if you watching one of those games, first off, I think it's hysterical because the commentators talk about everything other than what's on the field, which I think is a riot. But what's really fascinating, though, to watch is that, again, they've been portraying this, okay, the umps are in masks, the cheerleaders are in masks, there's nobody in the stands.
The cardboard cutouts, that's what gets me.
The cardboard cutouts in the stands are pretty funny. But again, it's going to be so hard to legislate human reaction, because a big hit, a big play, a home run, what happens? The guy comes back to the dugout and is high-fiving everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, but how are you – you're not going to stop a player from doing that. It's just not going to happen.
I know, and they're gonna jump in there at the wrong time and do it, and then or high-five or something's going to happen, and you're going to, look at that, and everybody's going to be criticized, and it can't work all the time, and everybody's not going to be the same all the time, so – I have to be really careful of that.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a look on your face.
I mean, it's just you can't take the emotion out of the sport. Otherwise, right. What are you doing it for, I think, is really the question. I mean, if you look at hockey, what's, one of the things that people love about it? Celebrations afterwards. What happens after anyone scores a goal? Everyone hugs. What happens during the course of play? Body checking, rubbing, sometimes players licking other players, that sort of thing.
No. Only if you play for Boston. That's it. Only if you. But
I mean, again, like realistically, I just, unless you're going to have tests before every single game, and then you're taking tests out of the community that aren't really widely available, so you have bad optics there. Again, like not much has changed, and I mean, it kind of stinks to come in here every week and say that, but that's kind of what you can have to say. It's just a matter of, okay, well, situation normal, all you know what up.
You're always looking for some way to say, okay, well, what if we, and there is this kind of interesting proposal that has been going around on social media, and even Bill Daly, the associate commissioner of the NHL, commented on it, trying to see if there was a way to make hockey a little bit more safer, full face masks, eliminating scrums. Things like that. But I don't know, Coach. I mean, the full face mask, I can absolutely buy off on. I think that's not a bad idea at all.
Totally. Great idea. Just in general, even without coronavirus, probably a good plan.
Well, but again, you're talking to somebody that grew up watching it. You're talking to somebody that, Coach, I mean, did you play any in the NHL without a helmet?
No, but I didn't have to wear one. McTavish was the last guy to take his put a helmet on when he was with Edmonton, and I mean, I think you're crazy to play a game without eye protection, and they were eye protection half shields were just coming on when I retired, and I mean, everybody wears a white shield now.
Yeah, I mean we also. We used to think the Earth was flat and we revolved around the sun. It doesn't mean, you know, that we should still do that just because we used to do it.
Don't disagree with that at all. But it's interesting to see, you know, as the game continues to evolve, is this another evolution that needs to happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, full face shields. I mean, you know, basically saying eliminating, you know, no fighting whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are the kind of things that are again, being floated to say, okay, how can we make it a little safer? I don't think we ever eliminate the risk completely.
No, and you can't.
We can't.
Yeah. Oh,
you've got to get it to a manageable level.
It does make you wonder, because there's already a league that has most of those things. You know, limited body contact, you know, no full face masks, no fighting. I mean, that's the NWHL all over. I mean,
true.
If you look at that, you just kind of adopt a lot of those measures. And, I mean, it's certainly interesting to think about. Like, do you take away the spirit of the game with that? By putting that, I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. I think it's going to be different, and because there's no way to have it come back and be the same.
You're right.
But you know, the guys that the on the ice that's trying to catch the virus on the ice and spreading it to somebody else on the ice. There's not, like you said before, Paul, all those people that are going in the room, in the dressing room, and then on the plane and on the, you know what, that's like a breeding for the virus to just, you know, and that's where you're going to see it mostly is off the ice. That's how you can catch it easy and give it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Is off the ice where you're, you know, everybody can't wash their hands every single second of the day and have
you smelled a pair of hockey gloves lately?
Right.
Yeah, but I mean,
exactly.
But I'm sorry, but you know, that could also be a protection because,
yeah.
You know, it, with that said, coronavirus comes right near and go, oh, no way, man. I'm out of here.
Stay away.
I mean, anyway. Anyway, we're just getting this going. We're going to talk prospects in the next segment. We got Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, coming at us. But you know what? They have been with us since day one of the show, and God love them, staying with us the entire time through this whole interesting situation. The premier sponsors of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Their staff, their entire families wish you safety, wish you good health, and wish you good dental health. Please make sure you're taking care of your oral hygiene. It's important. While the dentist's office can't be open quite yet, they're getting close, but they can't be open quite yet. Please make sure you're taking care of your teeth, you're taking care of your gums, because honestly, it's a key to good health. You can check out the website over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry at WeBrightonSmiles.com. You can call them up at 615-872-7762. You'll talk to voicemail, but that's okay. 615-872-7762, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. A big thank you from Slapshot Radio because they brighten smiles.
Monday, Monday, so good to me.
Oh, Elijah. Monday, Elijah's feeling kind of... You know what? In the immortal words of the secretary in Office Space, I think Elijah has a bad case of the Mondays.
I don't know. I think you get your what kick for saying something like that.
So. I think so. Wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. It's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, the game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you. And guys, we're going to talk a little bit about prospects now. I mean, because I know there's a Zoom call happening with Preds prospect Philip Tomasino, who has absolutely, before the junior season got paused, has absolutely been tearing it apart, making Pred fans just absolutely drool as to when he might be able to come up. But I do want to talk about, you know, some of the prospects that we're going to talk about with Aaron in the next segment. But I want to talk about, you know, first off, in the history of this franchise, Coach, who would you call the most surprising Predators prospect out of every prospect that you've seen in this franchise history, who is the most surprising?
Well, I'm probably forgetting a lot, but the guys that I there's a couple of them. Patrick Hornquist wasn't even rated in the draft. He was very irrelevant.
Yeah,
draft.
Yeah.
Turned into a pretty good player. And Roman Yossi was a second rounder. And Weber was a second rounder, but they've come through. But Marty Erat was also a seventh rounder, and he played good hockey for the Predators. But he left on bad terms. But other than that, Patrick Hornquist, last pick of the draft. Ended up playing, two cups in Pittsburgh, et cetera. He's a great person, too. So he's probably the most overachiever from the time he was drafted to the time he's going to retire soon. But and the other guy would be Pekka Rinne, seventh round.
Well, just take them all, Coach. That's fine. he asked you for one, and now we don't have anyone's left to say.
I just give Weber and those guys a shot. It's Hornquist and Pekka Rinne for me.
All right, and that segment's done. No kidding.
He took mine.
I know. You sit there going about Hornquist. I'm like, okay Rinne's right, still in there. Yeah.
Rinne, yeah.
We should have got together this afternoon and got it.
Yeah, it might have been a good idea.
Got to start planning these things. But honestly, one of mine was not taken by our illustrious coach on the board here.
Okay.
I got to say Victor Arvidsson.
Another good one.
For where he was drafted, a fourth rounder to come in and be, a borderline perennial 30-goal scorer, you don't necessarily see that kind of value, especially out of forwards over this organization's history.
You know what? I'm gonna stay. I agree with you. I think that's a really good one. And I'm going to go back a little bit, because I'm going to stay between the pipes, and I'm going to say Tomas Vokoun. I mean, you want to talk about a player that was basically given up on and was a throw-in to not take somebody else from Montreal. Right. And I mean, and grew into the player that he was, not only with Nashville, but really turned around and kept that career going in Florida, kept that career going. So, I mean, that's one of my most surprising prospects, because he had to not only fight his way through, I mean, Mike Dunham, obviously the original number one in Nashville, but had to fight his way through there, fight his way through injuries, fight his way through, a couple of interesting injuries. But so I go with Tomas Vokoun on that. Yep. So
Thomas is one thing about Thomas also, he was maybe the third backup goalie in the farm club.
Sure.
It was Sherbrooke. That he wasn't even in the top four in their whole organization, and we just they gave him to us. They just said take Thomas, and then they gave us something else too, and we might have got Bordeaux or something for not taking somebody. But Vokoun wasn't a mention in all of our meetings at the expansion draft or anything, and he just came on, and once Dunham was gone, he was number one, and he took it and he ran with it. He was a great goalie for many years here.
Well, and even if you look at it, I mean, it was Dunham number one, yet Grant Fichaud is number two. I mean, he wasn't even on the radar at the very beginning. So just really fascinating to see. So I took away the most obvious answer to this one, but when you look back over the Predators drafts, who would you call the biggest bust that you've ever seen? And I'm not going to give Coach a chance to take our answers right now. Okay. So Zach, I'm going to go with you first. Who do you think the biggest bust of a draft pick was?
First rounder in 2005. You got to go with Ryan Parent. Never really turned into what we were expecting with a first round draft pick, 18th overall, rated as one of the top defensive draft picks in that entire draft, amounted to 106 games played, one goal and six assists. Not what you want out of a first rounder.
No, I would agree with that. So good call, Ryan Parent. So Coach, you look at this from a different perspective. What would you say? There was a highly touted draft pick that just never lived up to it.
Well, I was going to say Ryan Parent, but since you took it off. No, I was thinking of Jonathan Blum, even though he did play a good playoff series for us in some games. He's probably the next first rounder that's probably had the, he only spent a little time with us. We traded him, or we let him go, and then he went to Minnesota, played a few games here and there. But he was sort of a first rounder, and he was a not a top first rounder, but he was in the middle of the pack there. And he didn't really get a lot done. He was a good kid, but he just couldn't get it done here. Just not strong enough, fast enough. He really played well in the one playoff series we had earlier in his career, but he never got going. And I think those two guys are probably, when you got Leggy and Hartnell and all these guys that are top guys are really good players. You got to think of Jonathan Bonham as a sort of a disappointment at times.
You know, and those were two players that I was thinking, and I'm going to do a hot take right now, I think. Because it's really hard to call a leader in points, goals, and assists as a disappointment. But I will tell you, I don't think David Legwand ever lived up to being the number two pick. This was a guy with size. This was a guy with speed, with hand. He had all the tools. And for some reason, he just couldn't seem to get past that. I mean, David Legwand was a prototypical 1C in this league. You shouldn't be talking about Ryan Johansson as being the first ever 1C that this franchise has had. Yep. And I look at David Legwand, and it's funny because I've been a defender of David Legwand. There's no question about that. But I look at it and go, this was a guy who was such an incredible skater to the point where he never really looked like he was working hard out there. Mm-hmm. And it was just that's one of those ones you just look at, and I like David a lot, a nice guy, but just never seemed to live up to the potential that was there.
No, I think, yeah, I mean, Coach, you know, you coached him. What do you think?
Yeah, well, David was an interesting situation. David came in as a young kid, and he was sort of immature, but immature socially for a kid that, you know, 18 years old. And he came in as a 19-year-old after he stayed 1 year back in junior, and came and played the last game of the first year, for our first year. And he ended up being sort of he didn't really get going at all. And then the next year he played a little bit better. In his third year he was fantastic.
Yes,
50 games, our top scorer.
Yes,
he was driving like Modano. Everybody compared to Modano all the time. He would drive to the net. And then he got hurt with about 10 games to go in the season. He hurt his shoulder and got hit in the corner, and he was never the same.
Yep.
And that's how injuries can affect people. He never got better. I think he was a little bit shy going in quarters. He didn't want to get hurt again. He wanted to play all the games, and you just can't play that way. He looked like he was loafing, and at times he was, but he just didn't have that inner drive that you need to be the best. And he didn't want to. He was satisfied with doing less than the best. Even though I like Leggy, he's a good guy, like you say, and he's a good person. But he didn't want to push himself to be the best. And he had the talent to be the best. And he sort of said, David, why would you waste so much talent? And he just was that's the way. But he was so happy-go-lucky. He just had fun. He wanted to be with the guys. And that's just the situation. That's what he turned into. But I'm telling you what, his third year, he was terrific.
Oh.
Until he got hurt, hurt his shoulder. I think he broke his collarbone in the corner, and he came back, and he just wasn't the same guy again. And if he would have got through without injuries, he might have been a different story. But it ended up being just like you said, Paul. He looked like he was floating around, and he was at times, but at times he made it look so easy that he looked like he was floating again too.
You know what? And I got to ask you this, Coach. I mean, you know, when you look at, do you think that he needed another year in Milwaukee? Hindsight being 2020. I mean, you know, do you think another year in Milwaukee may have made a difference with him?
Well, we all saw Modano play in Dallas, how he'd fly down the ice and beat everybody one-on-one and score goals and work hard and that. Well, we had the second pick, and we wanted to bring him in right away and play him right now.
Right.
At least we got a year in the juniors. And so, like, we needed the players. And the next year we kept Hartnell, or 2 years later we kept Hartnell. And
yep.
We just needed the players. We had a bunch of guys that were – at the end of their careers, older guys, and we had drafted pretty well in the expansion draft, but we needed to change it over and get the young kids going. And the sooner they got going, the sooner the better we would be.
Fair enough. All right. We got our good friend Aaron Sims coming up and joining us in the next segment. Hey, I do want to remind you, check out our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. They are open. Go check Andrew and the gang over at the Cool Springs location, at the Murfreesboro location, at the Hendersonville location. Come on, you're tired of your furniture. You've been sitting on it for the past 2 months. You may want to get out and look at some good deals going on at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio when you go over. We will be right back here on Slapshot Radio with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims, coming up next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And now, Slapshot Radio takes you down on the farm. A monthly look at the Milwaukee Admirals.
Slapshot Radio heading down on the farm, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, the only choice for your beverage needs at 1535 Mallory Lane. They deliver. They have curbside service. I mean, they're the best. And not only are they the best from a service-wise, best from a price-wise as well. I am telling you, you will not get a better price on your adult beverage needs than you will at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Heading down on the farm on Slapshot Radio with Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann, welcoming in the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, our good friend Aaron Sims. Aaron, it's a disappointing day in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a day we all thought was going to come, but then you get the final finality of the whole thing when the American Hockey League, and I mean, wisely so, they canceled the remainder of the 1920 season, and you sit there and you think what could have been. You know, the Admirals had the best record in the American Hockey League. They will win the regular season championship and the conference championship and the division championship, but you would love to see them get the opportunity to play in the playoffs. Obviously, regular season success does not mean much when it comes to the postseason. So you would have loved to have seen the tournament happen, but it's not going to. And while there is disappointment, there's a lot to celebrate. Troy Grosnick was the league's man of the year for his community service in Milwaukee. He and Connor Ingram should be the winner of the Hap Holmes Award, which is the lowest goals against average for a goaltending tandem. So I would love to think that Carl Taylor is the odds-on favorite to be coach of the year. There was a team record 13-game winning streak. The team had the best record. They were 8 points ahead of second place Iowa. So they were, they won 71.4% of the hockey games this year, or captured 71.4% of the points, I should say. So it's been a great year. You would love the tournament, but nonetheless, it was a great year.
41-14-5 on, I mean, just an amazing record. This team was dominant all year long. And the interesting piece of this, I mean, Aaron, you know, there were some injuries in Nashville to where, you know, these players kept getting pulled up. Colin Blackwell was pulled up early. I mean, you know, Carrier's been up a little bit. I mean, you've seen some of these everyday players come up to Nashville, and the Admirals just kept right on rolling. It was next man up.
Yeah, it really was. You know, Jared Tenorti was the team captain, and he's as good a captain as I've been around at this level. So you lose him, and yeah, you're right. The list goes on. Trenin was back and forth, and they did a really good job. Big credit to Scott Nickel, the Admirals GM and assistant GM there and director of player development. Scott went out and signed a lot of great depth players. In the past, you would have to find a player from some team in the ECHL. Scott didn't have to do that. He actually, and Nashville this year, used their affiliate in Florida, the Florida Everblades, as a real AA affiliate, and it was great. It certainly helped. So when the guy was called up from AAA, you could call a guy up from AA. Everybody knew him. It wasn't that hard to get on the same page. And you know, we had a player like Tanner Janot who this season really, really blossomed. He was okay last year as a rookie. He started this year in the ECHL, scored 5 points in 3 games, and he never went back because he came up and he turned himself into a prospect. So I think there's going to be it was a good season. You know, and it was next man up, and But there was also the depth that you didn't have to plug a fourth line guy into a first line role. They did a really good job assessing and picking out players at the beginning of the season to help in that cause.
Going down on the farm, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. Zach?
You know, one thing to look at any time a season ends, be it under extraordinary circumstances or regular circumstances, you always try and take a post-mortem of what just happened for the entire year. Is there a player on this Milwaukee Admirals roster who you think is kind of a comeback player of the year, someone who might have struggled but seemed to really put it together during this kind of really historic season for the Admirals?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough question. But I will say, let's go with Alex Carrier. I think Alex Carrier, and myself included, I don't know that we necessarily considered him to be in the future for Nashville. And lo and behold, he signed a 3-year extension with the team. He's a guy, he had a brilliant season. He is he's a small guy. When you say heart and soul guy, you usually think of these rough and tough, or these guys, these gritty guys that get in the corners and everything. But Alex Carrier is a heart and soul guy, and he'll do anything for the team. And he was brilliant this year, just absolutely brilliant. And so he might be one that played himself back into the picture. Obviously, Nashville certainly thinks so to a degree, because they would not have signed him to, you know, it would have been a 1-year deal if he was an RFA, not the 3-year deal that he ended up signing. So that was an interesting move, and I think Carrier might be at the top of that list.
Absolutely. Hey, Coach, got a question for Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. It's Brent Peterson. I just wanted to ask
Brent.
You, what's next for the Admirals now? Do they come back and get their stuff and go to their homes in the summers, or are they going to keep eight or seven guys around for the Predators in case we play and make the playoffs and have the Black Aces? What's next for the Admirals now?
Sure. All of the guys were sent home. Boy, like the season, the Admirals' last game was March 11th. The season was postponed March 12th. And then the guys were sent home, I believe, the following Monday or Tuesday. So they have all scattered wherever they live, whether it's with their parents or whatever. I talked to Scott Nickel earlier today, and he said that he told everybody, you need to be ready. This, yes, it has felt like a summer vacation, but you need to be ready, because if the NHL does go, he says, I don't know who will be in the plans and who will be Black Aces, but it could very well be any of you. So everybody is training and preparing as if they will be in Nashville for some portion of whatever remains of the 1920 season in the NHL.
You know, the interesting piece of that, Aaron, is that you wouldn't have that advantage at the beginning of the playoffs, especially with a team like Milwaukee, with as good as they've been. That could end up being a little bit of an advantage at this point, with knowing that the AHL is not coming back. Should the NHL resume, to have that full complement of players available to them.
You're absolutely right, and it's interesting. I'm going to be really curious about the contract situations, because you have guys like Freddie Gaudreau and Daniel Carr, who have both played to varying degrees of success in the NHL, but their contracts would be up on June the 30th. So I don't know, and maybe you guys have more insight because you deal with National Hockey League teams and players more frequently than I do, but I think that's going to be interesting. If this season continues into July or August in the NHL, what do players like, and I'm using them as an example just because of their contract status, but what do those players think? Because they obviously have to look out for their future too. So it's an interesting situation. Does Nashville call up guys that will have contracts expiring, or do they only keep around, and when I say call up as Black Aces, or do they keep around only the guys who would be under contract next year? I think it's an interesting situation. Obviously, we've never been through anything like this, so it's going to be interesting to watch.
Aaron, you spend more time with the Milwaukee Admirals than just about anyone else that we talk to on this show. And I think my question is more of a, well, philosophical one for you. Put on your GM hat. You're the GM of the Nashville Predators. You have some hard decisions to make as you're re-signing people this year, with the prospect of the salary cap probably staying where it is, if not going down due to the COVID-19 situation. Do you let your free agents walk, knowing the depth that you have in this organization right now? I know. It's a big one.
it's a great question. And, you know, the two, you know, the defenseman, with all due respect to the defenseman, I think I do.
Yep.
But with the forwards, it's tough, right? The UFAs you're talking that I'm talking about, and I'm sure you are too, are Craig Smith and Granlund.
Yep.
And they're interesting because Craig Smith, you can knock him in for 20 goals every year, and he was probably on the best line in Nashville from the start of the season to the to where it not concluded, but where we paused, and then Granlund was playing his best hockey. So. It's a great question. It is really a great question. There are guys in Milwaukee that really came on. Tolvanen was fantastic, and especially the last month. And I know we talked about him a lot all season long because we should. But he's been a really good hockey player all season long, and he turned into a great one at the end of the season. It's unfortunate he won't get that experience that, you know, for a playoff run in Milwaukee. Same for Rem Pitlick. Matthew Olivier certainly played a handful of games in Nashville and did just fine for himself. So there are guys, I said Tanner Janot earlier, there are guys that could certainly go up and contribute. Would they be 60-point guys? I'm not positive. But they could certainly play night in and night out. And if you were to find somebody for $2 million, you know, on the cheap somewhere in free agency, and maybe it's worth it because there are quite a few forwards down here that that are young forwards that contributed in Milwaukee and I think could be players to varying success, but I think they could be pretty good in Nashville.
Well, this most interesting of seasons continues. Aaron, we certainly appreciate your appearances throughout the season and wish you a wonderful off season. And thanks so much for being a part of Slapshot Radio, and we're looking forward to getting it going next season and having you on more.
I am too. I look forward to it. I always really thoroughly enjoy talking to you guys. I greatly appreciate it. I hope everybody stays well, and I look forward to hopefully some hockey later on this summer.
Absolutely. He's the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals. He's Aaron Sims going down on the farm, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. And we'll be back to wrap this up in just a few minutes right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
Elijah's just wistful today.
I am telling you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, he really is. There is a kind of whimsy to the music selections today.
They don't call me the mailman for nothing. I always deliver.
Hey, you know, I like it. It's like if The Sandlot was a radio show right now. And that would be the best radio show in summer I ever had.
You're killing me, Smalls. Anyway. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know, in talking about the Admirals, Coach, Milwaukee played 63 games in the American Hockey League this past season. They only gave up 141 goals in 63 games. That's unbelievable. And not only that, they were a plus 70. 211 goals, 141 goals against. I mean, it's a shame. I really would have liked to have seen what that team did in the playoffs, Coach.
Well, not only seen what they've done but in the playoffs, but those players, those young players, get an extra 3 months of valued playing time in playoffs under, you know, tough circumstances in playoffs when you have a long run. And we had the long run when Claude Noel was a coach many years ago, and they won the cup that year.
Right.
And it's just so much better for those players. The Ryan Suters came out of that and went down there and played a year, and you just not only do you need to play the year down years down there like Tolkien has played done a good job of. He's getting better and better every game. That's good. We didn't have time to play him on our team because he needed some seasoning still. And those guys are they get great work, they get to play in all situations in it. And Scotty Nichols done a great job, as Aaron said, of putting that team together. He went out and signed. They had such a poor year last year. He was really disappointed. They went and signed all the Carr, the best player in the, or the best top scorer in the AHL. They signed him, and he came up and played a few games for us and did a good job. And then you got Tenorti and these kind of guys that come up, and they're just good. They're ready to play. after they have a and if they win, they're winners, and you want winners on your team at all times. So it's too bad that we couldn't see them play, and they would have had a great experience from it. But it's that's the way it is, and I still think the NHL has so much to overcome before we can get going up here. That we, it'll probably be the same for everybody, but it's just so much to overcome. I just think it'd be real hard to do.
It's going to be tough. There's no question about that. And Zach, but you know, Coach brings up a really, really good point. It's something I really didn't think about. The development.
It's brutal on development.
I mean, you've got a team right now that is that dominated the entire year. That needed, you know, you talk about the international experience that young players get in like the World Juniors or, you know, or in the World Championships, how important that is to them. It's a shame because it's a key piece of development that's going to miss from this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brutal loss, you know, to have that loss of development time, to lose both, you know, international juniors play. Not only that, just to lose the Calder Cup chase. I think when you get that taste of playoff hockey, it is still playoff hockey at that level. Mm-hmm. It's elevated from that regular season grind. So, I mean, really, these players have two options. You either think, okay, this was stolen from me and I'm going to, you know, take the summer and not really, you know, focus on developing myself or playing because, hey, everything got canceled. Or you let this think that this was stolen from me and I'm going to come back even hungrier.
Do you use it for fire?
And
yeah.
That's what you have to do if you want to succeed in the NHL. But actually, you know, I posed a question to Aaron last segment about what do you do with your pending free agents. And I want to pose it to both you guys. If you're GM David Poile, knowing the strength of this organization, what do you do knowing the reality of this cap either staying put or going down? What is it going to take to get your UFA signed? And do you do it knowing what you have in the organizational pipeline?
Coach, why don't you take that one first, and I'll follow up.
Okay, I would probably, if I knowing the people that are down there, like Trenton and those kind of players, I think he's ready to play, and I think Pidlick's close, and a lot of guys are ready. I think I'd let him go, even though since the coaching change, those two guys have been the best players for us. It's unbelievable how poorly they played before and how good they both played it since the coaching change. So it's kind of funny, but we got Trenton down there, Pitlick. Tenorti's been up with us, and he's played very well. So they're really – Coach Carl's doing a great job of getting those guys ready to play and getting them up here and getting there. And we're seeing the value of a good farm club and a good organization. So I think I'd let them go for now because we've got so many guys that we got want to get in the lineup. The faster they get in the lineup, the better off we are.
You know what? I'm going to half agree with you. I think we sign one. And honestly, of the two, you've got one player, and Aaron said it. In the last segment, you can pencil, you know, you can put it in ink. There's going to be 20 goals every year, and that's Craig Smith.
He's terrible.
You know, and I mean, I don't
versatile up and down the lineup player too.
Exactly, and I don't ever see him take a shift off. Never see him take a shift off. He may not, his game may not be at the level that you want it to be the entire time. Whose game really is. But I've never seen him not work. I've never seen him not just go after it. You know, it's not from effort, and that's not a knock on Granlund at all. I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd like to keep both of them. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it from a consistency perspective, from a from about 18 different perspectives, I'd probably try and sign Smith if you can do it reasonably, and unfortunately let Granlund go.
Yeah, I think you have more and Granlund replacements in the development pipeline than you do Smith replacements.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is the contract situation. We might not even have a choice. They can go anywhere they want, and somebody might want them more than we do, or somebody might want one of them more, and we might have to just let the one go and add two guys from the minors this year. So they're totally at we're totally at their whim to it. For the contract situation.
Got it.
And Granlund is a phenomenal player.
No question.
I don't think we've even seen the best of Mikhail Granlund here in Nashville.
I mean, We have seen him. Unfortunately, he's been wearing a Minnesota Wild jersey when we've seen it. But, I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Zach. Absolutely agree. Just giving you an update, game one of the Western Conference Finals on Twitch and Facebook. The Preds are up 3-1 with 15 minutes to go in the third period over the dreaded St. Louis Blues. And you have wasted another hour of your life listening to Slapshot Radio, and we are certainly glad that you did. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'd like to thank our guest, Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals. And, of course, a big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned and open Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, the Moody Elijah, and our co-host Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.